Hello,
Internet.
Yes, good afternoon, good morning, good evening. Ewan Spence here once more in your Eurovision press room backstage. Slightly later today, not because it's a Saturday and we're just enjoying the fine time, mostly because we were very, very tired and we didn't crawl until 12 o'clock and then rehearsal started.
We definitely tried to make... I tried to make it an early night anyway. Stephen, however, did not, which is why he's not on the podcast today.
No, so we need to find someone grumpier than Stephen. We need to find someone more opinionated than Stephen. We need to find someone who is at the cutting edge of Eurovision if it was held in Limerick in 1974. We need the former manager of Black Lace, Keith Mills.
That would be me.
You're the other Keith Mills.
Oh, yes, I am. The other Keith Mills... Well, wasn't there... Yes, no. I'm trying to think now. No, there was the other Keith Mills. Was the man who brought the Olympics to London, actually. Was Sir Keith Mills. I was going, he's got my gig.
Yeah, Black Lace, the Olympics, and you get Eurovision. And we get... We should have got the guy that did the Olympics. He'd be much more fun. Anyway, value for money will be guaranteed from Mr. Mills as we go through the rest of the hour. Ben Robertson joins us again on his very short time in the press room. What's it, less than 24 hours on the clock now?
I will be leaving tomorrow at 6 something on a train back to Stockholm, getting to about midnight, and then I've got a lesson 8 in the morning on the Monday, so we'll cram it all in.
Indeed, and of course the news is we'll carry on with that viewpoint from outside the bubble that yourself and Charlene is doing for us back as well. Charlene, we all miss you.
Yeah, come on back, Charlene. I know you're missing Eurovision this year for some wonderful reasons, but we do miss you.
Yeah, I just it's the one reason I don't want Sweden to win, because if Sweden wins, she's not coming back ever again, is she?
Oh gosh, I don't think so.
Where shall we start with? Well, we're going to run through the second tech rehearsals from semi-final one, squeezing in 16 songs yesterday. Okay, 15 in Sweden. And we will start, though, at the top of the list and work down. Armenia, again, taking to the stage. One main change here, which we called out when we saw the first tech rehearsal.
Oh, which was the lighting effects, I'm assuming you're referring to?
Two things we called out for. The lighting effects and the change from the Madonna mic
to a
handheld mic and boom. Which, of course, as someone who's a comedian and a performer, I think he's more comfortable with the handheld.
I agree. I mean, he definitely looked more comfortable on stage yesterday. Vocals were still very strong. I think it really suited him. I was a little bit more distracted when he had the Madonna mic. Is there another name for that? I have a feeling that I think Madonna would probably sue us if we keep using her name like this.
Yeah, I don't believe the Madonna mic is appropriate for a song that's a ballad. If you're Janet Jackson or Kate Bush throwing yourself around the stage, fine. But I think it's much more intimate if you just hold the microphone and deliver the song.
I agree. This isn't Estonia, which we'll see in two songs from now, but I think having it the way that it is now is a lot better. And then coming back to the other thing that I mentioned, they did add more pyrotechnics, which we'll probably see closer to the end. So if you at home are taking part in the Eurovision drinking game, be prepared.
Of course, there are many drinking games. We suggest the simplest one is drink on pyro. And I'm just looking down this. You will probably get to Ukraine.
I think
there's not a lot of pyro actually in the first semi-final, is there?
No, actually. You might get out of this moderately unscathed.
You might actually have to listen to San Marino sober. Ben,
I still find it wanting. Yes, it's adding the pyros in there. Yes, he's more comfortable. I'm hearing those things. But what I've... Looking at it now, I'm still wanting it to give me a bit more punch after that breakdown about 1 minute 40 in. That's a whole minute more of that same noise, and there's not enough respect to the camera that I'm thinking through. When I first heard the song, I went back to a camera effect I first saw in Melody Festivalen from one of Frederik Klemper's better songs called Heartstrings, although it didn't qualify from his semi-final. They had a camera effect where the production went vroom and the camera zoomed straight out. When you've got your coming through, you want to make you could use that, and you could take it and take the camera to come and move it in with each little bit. And it's not doing, and there's nothing in the backdrop that matches that bit of the music, which would give it a bit more standout quality. I'm missing that. I'm missing something to really drive home that quite unique effect compared to the other songs we've got in Eurovision this year.
The big question, though, obviously, is, as it's the hot favourite, is it the winner?
It's reminding me of Sonia.
Sonia?
Sonyu.
Oh, Sonyu. Okay, yes. No, I don't think so. I think it's a much better song than that. I think he's a more comfortable performer. And yesterday, I didn't see anything that beat it.
Armenia are... It's been a while since Armenia have challenged to get into the top 10. This is probably going to be one of them. Latvia coming up in second place. There's not much you can do with this song, really. It is what it is. They framed it perfectly in Tech 1. They came out in Tech 2. They still framed it perfectly. Probably the only thing that could cause this to be... you know, it's for this to go wrong in terms of presentation is if the band themselves decide to do a Take That and start spinning out and fracturing and actually no Take That. We probably need a better band that's exploded in chaos.
My problem with this is that it's going for a very small niche. Hungary got that niche vote last year. I don't think Latvia will get it this year.
See, I disagree. I think this is a very universal song, personally. I think people who hear it for the first time, they respond to it. It's a kind of relatable, heartwarming, aw kind of song. And you and you're right, they're kind of coasting. There really wasn't many changes or transformations from the first round of rehearsals to this. Because honestly, this isn't a complicated setup. It's move to the camera, play around, smile, you know, happy clappy for the camera. They're on coast right now. But honestly, coast kind of works for them.
Again, there's not much to say. It's just going on to do what it's normally done. So we will move on to Estonia, that does need the boom mic, that does need throwing around. And again, Estonia's, I'm going to say coasting again, but it's more a case of, we know we can do it. We're just going to do a little bit of tweaking around the edges. It's working. We're not going to try and fix something that's not broken.
Exactly. This is almost move for move the same choreography as Estilao. It's the same choreography that you see in the music video if you're researching that. And she's a consummate professional. She's been doing this on the theater scene in Tallinn for many, many years. You know, at this point, it's, again, on coast, but a very different kind of coast than
this
Latvia.
This is a coast which is, I'm carrying an injury. I don't want to exacerbate it before we actually get to the live shows.
Correct.
Because the rib could go at any point.
Oof.
Hold on, let's build this up at any point. And it's going to hurt quite a bit. And she was carrying that injury in the national final in SDA as well. Again,
and she still rocked it.
Again, a professional. Someone who's just who knows dance and dances. This is a rehearsal.
My problem with it is the camera work on it. It takes you about 30 seconds, maybe even 45 seconds, to realise that she's actually singing and dancing at the same time. Because if you look at it on screen without knowing the history and not having watched the preview, you're hearing a voice and you're seeing the dance movements and you're going, okay, when are they going to show the singer? So an awful lot of the cleverness of the performance is lost because you're not seeing her singing it.
I think most people, the casual viewers, would assume the first thing they see, especially being so long, would be the one they're watching, the singer. You are right in saying that it does take a long time for that gist to come in, but I think the assumption is the one that we are watching it, rather than the opposite effect.
I think television audiences know the playbook for many of the styles that are used in music video here, but it is an interesting point because you do have to spend that time getting used to it. And also, we shouldn't forget, we're not seeing these in the postcards. They've just had a 30-second postcard seeing Tanya having the focus for that. So perhaps it's slightly mitigated.
Yeah, but you don't realise that it's Tanya and in the first shots. You just see two people dancing. So unless you have made the connection, and most casual viewers, I don't believe, will have made the connection, you don't realise that the singer is actually dancing until, as I said, about 30, 45 seconds into the song.
And we're fine, because casual voters don't vote at the semi-final. They wait till Saturday night. So we should have Estonia going through and doing the usual sort of meh placing as well. Sweden, again, knows what she's doing, doesn't want to get it wrong, doesn't want to cause any damage, but we did see the outfit.
We did. I think it's going down quite well with the people back home watching from across the bridge. Sanna actually looks a little bit more in her own age category than I've seen before.
Ben's choosing his words very, very carefully there.
I know I am.
Pass it over to Sam.
Just out of curiosity, which age range category are you putting her in?
Here goes for the burn.
Because on paper, I am the same age as Sanna. On paper, we are both 29.
And on paper, Ace Wilder's actually older.
Exactly. But I
this is... It is something to be careful of when you think about the home country and so forth. But Sana looks so much more like somebody who's ready and wanting to go and be a star with this. I'm a big fan, hearing through, of the harmonies that have been added. The cold ideas you get from Melody Festival and the backing tracks now has a bit of life to it. I have so many gripes of Undo as a song about how it's so clean and so hard. It's Sweden, it's well produced, of course, but there is these twinges of sadness in these somewhat misunderstood lyrics, but nothing in the actual music.
Two words for me came out about Sweden. First one was cold, the second one was plastic. I thought it was just a very vacuous performance yesterday.
Right, so we shall shift on down to Iceland on that one. And Paula Poonk, again, professional performers. I think this is the difference. We're seeing a number of songs that are just, yeah, we've got it right, we know what we're doing, let's just go through the motions. There are some songs later on that actually do need the rehearsal time. Again, Iceland's not one of them.
Yeah, I mean, again, we're kind of following these same patterns of, they know what they're doing, they know who they are, they've been performing together in various iterations for a very long time, and it is what it is.
Yeah, it is, but moves off.
It is exactly what it is, and it's a blessing for them and who they are, and that they can go on the stage and the rehearsals will be fine. But when it comes to keeping score, it's going to be a little problematic. We've been running a few more numbers on the juries in the semi-finals, and semi-final one is where the majority of the singers in the juries are. And if we assume singers are more likely to be going for the vocals and that kind of aspect, it probably gives even the next little push towards the safer
songs. So things like Azerbaijan's number,
impressive.
Arguably Moldova's number, certainly the Netherlands as well, and more performance-based songs.
Could be...
You're going to have fun with the spreadsheets and the numbers afterwards, aren't you?
Well, at the moment, we're just making a hypothesis. We're just going and saying, we would assume this. We don't know. The stats will be interesting.
Yes, because, Keith, for a long time, punters like yourselves and myself have just been, the jury will look for this, the jury will look for that.
Yep.
And, okay, and I know you've been on the Irish jury a couple of times back for the Nationals, but we've never actually looked deeply into the jury room as we were going to be able to on May the 11th.
It's true. And also, don't remember that the juries are just given four criteria on which to judge the songs. They're not told in which order to rank those criteria. And basically, anybody can justify their voting pattern based saying, right then, well, I loved the performance of this, or I loved the originality of that. And you can justify almost any order that you give. So I don't think transparency is good, but I don't think it will be the panacea for all of the questions over jury votes.
Albania is probably one of the countries that did need that next rehearsal. Certainly the camera test for the outfit and shoes and not shoes, and sartorially, Hersey has been left wanting, I feel.
I totally disagree. I thought she was in terms of clothing and costumes, I thought she was beautiful yesterday. I love that cream lace look. I love the way they put her on the platform. She sang beautifully. Unfortunately, the song isn't strong enough for her. She needs a better song that shows off her vocals. And by God, is she a good vocalist, because I heard her doing some opera in the Euro Cafe the other night, and my goodness, she's one of the best singers we've ever had in the contest.
I wouldn't go as far to say that she's one of the best singers we've had in the contest, but she is a very talented singer, I will give you that. Her training has been paying off. It's just, as you said, Keith, not the best vehicle. I wouldn't say that her dress is absolutely the most stunning thing that we're seeing here, but I am relieved to see that she's not being styled like the 10-year-old that we've seen her style that before, or like the grunge princess that I keep referring to. So luckily that's done her justice. Unfortunately, I think the song still is going to leave people kind of meh after the high energy of Iceland and then the craziness of Russia to follow.
Let's move to Russia, shall we? Oh, dear. You know, I thought Russia, okay, it looked like they were playing the cute kids card, and then they came out with the seesaws and the denim in Tech One, and I thought, yeah, they're going to carry on playing that sort of teenage sort of, I mean, the teenager, Rachel, Junior Eurovision, that sort of look. And then they have sculpted some strange attempt at Lauren Bacall 1940s asymmetric haircut thing.
To me, it almost looks reminiscent of the nationalistic statues that you see in many old former Soviet cities, the Mother Russia of the harvest leading the people into blessed, glorious victory, that kind of thing. That's the image that I saw with the sort of flowing robe, the sort of perfect facial features. That's the image that it gave to me.
The image that I was getting was trying to mirror two Princess Leias from Star Wars. I got that kind of a sort of a space age look out of it. It's very iconoclastic, if you like. It's very, very strong imagery. What exactly it is and what it anything to do with the song is beyond me.
Now, there's obviously been a lot of talk about potential negative voting towards Russia this year. And I'm looking to see now, you see that first image of these girls. I think most people will find something else that will put them off the app.
It's creepy is the wrong word, but it makes me feel uneasy in a sort of, that doesn't look quite right, that first side-by-side shot of the
and
two of them.
That's just a human way of being, but that is what you will feel when you see it. So what is it? What am I looking at? It takes you away from the norms when you have something there that you could kind of do in a much more the innocent way as we thought it would be.
I still think Russia's on course for qualification, but this is going to be to use a phrase, is going to be going around the Premier League this weekend, squeaky bum time for Russia.
I don't think so. I think this is sailing, and I would say that this is a better bet to qualify than Sweden, based on the countries that are in it, and it is a very polished performance. It's a dog's dinner in terms of exactly what it's trying to do on stage, because I don't think anybody can actually figure out what it's trying to do. Somebody was saying that they're trying to tie in a shine motif, that's why you're getting the yellow image at the end, and possibly that makes sense. But I think this is an absolute banker to qualify, but I think when it comes to the final, there are just too many other good songs that it won't do that well.
I'm thinking Borobyov. I'm thinking an Alex Sparrow kind of moment where they, you know, make it to the final, nothing spectacularly high, but then they'll kind of out in the final result.
Indeed. And it really has helped Azerbaijan. The one year that Azerbaijan don't bring a stupid prop, they just bring an elegantly dressed singer with an equally elegantly dressed trapeze artist.
It's
and
funny,
the trapeze artist is still
subtle.
Quite subtle. Yeah.
For Azerbaijan, this is subtle.
It's also subtle in the running order as well.
Yeah.
Because before that, you've got, you know, off-angle diagonal plinth for Albania, the seesaw thing for Russia, and after it, you have a hamster wheel and the man from the Go Compare advert.
I never would have thought that the sort of quiet breather moment would ever come from Azerbaijan. Granted, her vocals are beautiful, and frankly, she is stunning, and I'm, again, lusting after her dress. But yeah, it's a song. It is not Azerbaijan scraping or coasting by on, we're going to just throw everything that we can at it and hope to pull a Moldova. If you haven't read our article on what pulling a Moldova means, feel free to throw forward over to that. Sorry.
What I like about this is, and this is the contrast to Sweden. Sweden's doing very well in the fan polls and the betting because it is Sweden and because it is Sana. Azerbaijan, I think, is not doing very well because it has the word Azerbaijan attached to it. I would love in a perfect world to switch these two songs around and see Start a Fire get all the fan love and Undo not get the love.
In that case, if Sweden's song was Start a Fire, Sweden would be the favourite this year, because that song is strong enough to be the favourite.
Mm.
And I just always find that interesting, that a lot of people are not going to be crediting Azerbaijan as a potential, and then they're going to come back and start and go, how did that finish third?
Yes, I can see it definitely picking up the points from a wide range of different groups to do that. Does it have the immediate impact to give it the bump up when it gets that final chorus, though? Because something in there is missing as well. It has that lovely change of chord, but then there's a less power going through to actually give it the points.
Ukraine on that one as well. Subtle props, never quite Ukraine's strong point. Indeed, indeed.
Oh, Ukraine. It's always something, isn't it? You know what? It's either the Hell Wheel or, you know, bringing in Igor last year. And it's Ukraine. We come to expect, and we kind of have a love to hate and hate to love thing whenever we see these things come after Ukraine. But it kind of works in a weird way.
It kind of works on television, and it's people in television who are voting. The extra hamster wheel clock motifs in the background help the circular image. The stage does not look like a big show. They're keeping the camera in tight. They're keeping the focal length to make sure that we don't have that. Is that a speck of dust or is it Maria for the people who are watching on a decent television screen at home? It does fill the stage, and it does have a brashness and a confidence. And for all the clinicality that we see and feel here, this is just Ukraine continually polishing and polishing and polishing and polishing and honing until they get the best potential they can out of what is, quite frankly, an average song.
Well, like I've been saying since the national final, they've taken a turd and made it maybe not necessarily into a diamond, but at least into a little rhinestone.
I think calling this an average song is being very, very charitable. I think it's an absolutely dreadful song. It's got nothing to it at all. Vocally, people haven't mentioned it, but vocally, it was the shakiest yesterday by a long distance. I mean, the first minute of every run-through yesterday was all over the place vocally. If this was any other country, bar those certain 100% qualification record countries, I'd be writing this off as a qualifier. But unfortunately, I think if they stick in the contest, and they may withdraw, you never know with what's going on over there at the moment, if they're in the contest and they're performing on Tuesday night, they will qualify, and they won't deserve to.
Belgium. Belgium.
Belgium.
Is like we expected. Is nothing new. What I do notice, seeing them going through in the order, Azerbaijan, Ukraine, they're both Swedish produced entries, they're both slick in that. And then Belgium come, the tinkle piano, ding, ding, ding. And it's a little bit down a notch in production, which may lose some things of those people looking for that in the points, but it is what it is. He's got to do what he does. I have no idea on how it ends up. It is like Estonia, they are more variety show acts than traditional contest songs.
It is a tough one to judge, so we're not going to judge it. Unless, Keith, you want to judge it.
I think this is sailing into the final. I don't like the lighting. I think it's not complimentary to him or the song. I would put a progressively lighter staging as the song goes through. But I think he's vocally incredibly good. I think he's very endearing. I don't get the Subo moments the people are talking about from it, but I think it's unique enough to stand out and qualify with ease.
Belgium, well, we just have to keep an eye on them. Moldova, Christina Scarlett. This is again, as I said earlier in the week, there is something in the song that is starting to appeal to my bass instincts as a rocker.
Yeah, and there used to be something as well, because I tend to listen more towards the sort of epic rock kind of stuff at home. And then she rips out her weave, and then I'm just completely distracted. I just can't take it seriously. Like, she literally, and you guys will see this at home, at one point, she literally rips out her weave. I don't get it. I want to get it, but I don't. I'm confused.
I think it's it's somebody's idea of let's add a little moment to the song, and it really doesn't need it. She's strong enough, the backing dancers are very subtly put together, and I personally think it's a great song. A great little song. It's not one of the big pushy songs, it's just very, very cleverly there. And of the three potential Bond themes of San Marino, Austria and Moldova, for me it's the best of the three. It's on the fence for me. I can't decide whether this is qualifying or not. I'm slightly leaning towards it qualifying.
And we have to take account of Moldova's record is incredibly strong. It's not 100%. It's actually, Keith Ann,
it's 87. No, actually, I think about 87.
It's an 87.5.
Yeah, the only one they missed was the Belgrade semi-final.
Yeah.
And they missed that very, very narrowly.
It's something that seems very different. I've got to see that both in the arena and in here. And I had a similar kind of thing with Albania. There's a lot of nuances you got from the full orchestra. You could hear it so powerfully, which you couldn't come across when you've got a little TV screen effect. In how Albania is quite Albania, and I find this to be quite Moldovan as well. With no Romania in the semi-final, it's going to be on that edge, and it'll be 10 points in one country and another, and it's going to decide it.
Indeed. San Marino. Really, they could have done with Italy voting in this one. They could probably have done with Greece being alongside as well to give them a little bit of a hand. As it is, San Marino, as with every country, officially starts in 0 points, but unofficially it starts in zero, while others have a slight lead in terms of cultural leanings and favouritism in terms of musical styles. And it is doing itself no favours. I mean, Valentina doesn't look like Valentina. She's just, to me, there's just too much costume and prop on display rather than singer and song.
She's becoming Eurovision Barbie. You dress her up however the person playing with the doll wants to dress her up and make her sing whatever song you want to make her sing. And it's a shame because, like I keep saying, she's actually a talented vocalist. It's just she's becoming Eurovision Tofu.
Yeah,
takes the flavor of what's around her.
Exactly. She's not been given the kind of song that suits her, or a contemporary song. I think she actually does look very, very pretty this year. I think she looks a lot better than she did, for example, 2 years ago. But the draw, which is supposed to be a director-driven draw, how it's ended up with Moldova before San Marino is beyond me, because there's plenty of variety that you could between them, and they're too similar.
You get that final moment in it, and this stood out for me when you get that final camera shot on Valentina and she's reaching out towards the audience.
Saying, help, help, Ralph Segel has me trapped, save me.
It gave me one feeling that described the whole 3 minutes, and it was desperate. It was a desperate plea for something.
Yes, it was.
And
anything.
I'd love to give it something, but I can't do it.
No. Nope.
Somebody might. Because Albania's jury is the oldest one, and they are actually Segel's generation. So there could be something there, maybe. There could be a surprise 12-point San Marino, perhaps, if we got a...
Part of me wishes we could get 12, 10, 8 and points read out in the semi-finals rather than just having them presented as a spreadsheet, but unfortunately not. Portugal.
Okay, I'm up here.
Yes, you're up here, Keith.
It is my favourite song. I know people are saying, oh, it's not the kind of song that I normally go for. It's not, but it's fun. It's poppy. It's ethnic. She is fantastic the way she delivers the song down the camera. The staging is lovely. I wouldn't particularly have the drummers and some of the dance moves in there. I would turn it into almost a sort of a semi-conga line, almost a Pied Piper conga line for the last minute of the song just to break up the repetition. But I think they've taken a song that was passable in the national final and turned it into a song that could really get through. And after those ballads that come before it, this is definitely in the shake-up to qualify.
I mean, it's been 5 songs since Ukraine, which is probably arguably the last fun thing ahead of
it's
Portugal.
It's a semi-final that's lacking in fun.
Indeed. I mean, to be honest, semi-final 2 is actually... I'm glad semi-final 2 is the second one, because if you'd had semi-final 2 and then semi-final 1...
I can, sadly, see it with a chance of going through in that sense. It is in that right spot where you want that to happen. I saw Susie at Eurofan Cafe, and yes, the girl can sing and all the rest of it, but what I find is it gets to 2 minutes and it has nothing new to come through with it. When Susie described how the song came about, it's basically been written by the Portuguese equivalent of Pete Waterman, and it harks back to that, and it doesn't have the extra oomph that maybe living in Sweden now I hear more often that should be what we see from a good Eurovision song.
Yeah, I agree. The oomph should come in that key change, which to me always sounds a little bit awkward and forced with this one. It's not the standard one. There's a weird kind of thing going on with the key change that kind of hits my ear a little bit wrong.
It's a minor key before she actually takes it up a key, which is a very, very strange thing to do.
I'd never really heard that before. But I tweeted this idea yesterday. I think that there are 10 better songs in the semifinal, but I think the final itself will be richer for having the song amongst it. Both for linguistic diversity, for having the happy, bouncy, ethnic-flavored song in there that we don't really have anywhere else this year.
So basically, if anybody trips up, Susie's there.
I think so.
How showgirls.
Exactly. She's probably sitting somewhere between 9 and 11 at the moment, and that's a very crowded area. Mm-hmm. So whichever of, we'll say, the Estonias, the Montenegros, which we're going to get to, the Moldovas, she's in that mix.
Yeah.
So, the Netherlands next. We are now inside the Eurovision bubble, and people are telling me that the Netherlands is actually a very good song. I will stick with my first opinion of this song.
You're wrong!
While everybody tells me I am wrong quite forcefully. the staging is getting better. They're much better at faking that connection and pretending to look at each other on stage. But for me, this is clinical, cold Americana by the numbers, the advantage being that Europe hasn't really got Americana mainstream, so it looks quite competent.
You know what competent is a really good word for it. I think it's beautiful. I don't think there are the bells and whistles that we would be getting from another song, which frankly for this genre you're not going to get the bells and whistles without being Texas Lightning. And frankly, we don't want to have that as the country motif that we see at Eurovision. This is a lot more authentic, a lot more real. They have done their time in the U.S. and doing their studies, or not, yeah. You can say their studies, quite immersing themselves in that sort of yeah, Nashville
quite
culture.
Quite a few performances here. I've done I've been at Nashville a couple of years and come back.
Yeah, but not in the same way as these guys, though. It's a very, it's a lot more subtle.
Yeah, Casey from Ireland, oh, I've been at Nashville.
No,
we should
you
stay
haven't.
There. No, you haven't. Yeah, you might as well a package tour. One of our commenters, Linda, pointed out that essentially the Netherlands are Roseanne Cash and Rodney Crowell, including the drama, but none of the musical talent, in my opinion. That's not fair. A little bit of musical talent. But this just leaves me cold, and in the same way that heavy metal would struggle unless there was a completely perfect song at Eurovision, Americana struggles unless there's a completely perfect song. This isn't it.
I would agree that it isn't the perfect song. But all it has to be in this semi-final is one of the 10 best songs. And the way it's staged and the better engagement between the singer has made it one of the 10 best songs.
It's not the, it's the, it could be the sixth worst and that's enough.
Exactly. And it possibly is the sixth worst.
And if it was a sixth worst with six worst with five different jury members, that would probably put it maybe seventh, maybe sixth with those. Give it a few more of the points and televotes and then it's threes, it. Fours.
Yeah.
Going through what we were discussing later, because it's not going to have that winning potential from your average Saturday night viewer, so it could be the kind of thing used as fodder if it gets put somewhere for the final winning
you're
order.
Not suggesting that the DR are hoping this draws second half so it can lead into Basim, are you?
That would be one definite possible alternative to give Basim an umph if that was something that DR, with the EBU's, of course, sign
off.
Approval,
yep.
Wanted to do. That's a discussion we can have on Saturday.
I'm sure we will be having it. Oh, I'm sure we'll have it on Friday once we see the running order. Two to go, Montenegro. Everything that we hoped was gone is still there.
It's still there and it's amplified. The poofy dress, why? I'm sorry, it's something out of, you know, Torvalentine's closet from the early 70s. It's just kind of poofy and Swan Princess, and it just takes you out of the moment of the song. It takes you out of that beautiful, beautiful musical capability that Sergei has.
And from what we're hearing, it was Sergei's decision to put the rollerblader there.
Oh, Sergei.
Dear God. It is. I love this song. I think it's beautiful. The only fault that I have in it is the end is a bit of an anticlimax.
Mm-hmm.
But on stage, it's dreadful. It's not only is the rollerblader a bad idea, the way they're lighting it as she goes, it looks as if, dare I say this, it looks like she's shitting snow. And it's absolutely dreadful. It looks like, oh, it's horrible, horrible staging. And I think they were an absolute banker to qualify. Now I have them going out.
Bingo, exactly. This is take the song, put it in the jaws of defeat, try and snatch it, and realise, oh dear, I seem to have grabbed a small doll instead. Ooh, that looks quite interesting. What's happened? Yeah, snap away, we don't care, I'm looking at the doll.
I think it was on a hiding to nothing before that. I find it beautiful. I find it gorgeous. I find it a bit of a beautiful and gorgeous nothingness. It doesn't get to that climax properly throughout the song, and when you've got something like this semi-final here, where because of so many withdrawals, you're not having the common connection, that musical quality. Yes, you will have Sweden where you do have some diaspora, but they're not Montenegrin diaspora. They're going to be those that have been brought up with Leias and Lane Moyes and got looking for direct comparisons, and it never had that ability to draw them, say, as one of those. It's the B list, and with it lacking the extra styling, it's going to need a miracle of a jury vote.
Hungary is probably going to soak up the jury vote, though, isn't it, Keith? It's a subtle performance. They're going back to theatrical techniques to talk about the message of the story, which at least takes the edge off it for me.
I'm uncomfortable with the theme of the song at Eurovision, I have to say. I think there are certain things that are not suitable for Eurovision to discuss. I don't mind them being talked about in song, but I think in an entertainment show like Eurovision, I think they're out of place, and I'm uncomfortable with the theme. I also don't like this particular the overuse of dubstep in this. I think Armenia use it very subtly. This uses it just in a way where it's like a drill in my head. And actually, this is my number 37 song of the 37. Will it qualify? It's got a great draw. It is well performed. I personally don't like it, but I can see what people see in it, and I think it will qualify.
Keith, out of curiosity, what is your opinion on Isabelle Aubrette's The Sauce, or La Sauce?
Sorry, say again?
La Sauce by Isabelle Aubrette.
I have no problem with that, because most people didn't guess what it was about, and it was done in a poetic style. The Hungarian song is very in your face. It repeats the message, the uncomfortable message, time and time again, and I just feel a little sweat on the back of my hands going, I'm not sure this is suitable for an entertainment show. It's like an unfortunate, you know, where somebody, a comedian, goes over the line and you go, right, sorry, that's just not appropriate for me, that this subject matter is not appropriate.
I agree that the subject matter is, it toes a line. It is difficult to manage. It's difficult to kind of present in a way that is not bashing it over your head. I mean, oh gosh, I hate even saying that about a song about abuse. But it's to make it overly, overly forceful. I think the presentation does make it a little bit more subtle, using interpretive dance, that you can tell that there is a dominant and submissive role in that, but not a true... It's a very, very difficult line to toe.
It's not as strong as the video.
No.
And that I'm glad of.
Yes, me too. And that's what I was worried about, frankly.
They had a tech rehearsal where they just went for it normally. Then they did one where they used the sort of fool and hunter masks. I don't know what you call them in some in theatre, but you had the fool face.
My theatrically focused friends would whack me over the head with.
Indeed, but you had the white one and the red one for the child and the adult. And that means that the language of the theatre is being used here. And it does, again, take the edge off it. I actually only rank the songs 30 out of 36, because the honest answer is I didn't like the first time I watched the Hungarian video. I wished it had a trigger warning on it. And because of that, I can't watch or listen to this song without tying into my personal of the song. So I just cannot judge this one fairly.
But many people can.
Yes.
And the Hungarian final, I think most fans would agree, was very strong. It had lots of variety.
I mean, it has been for the last couple of years. Adal's doing a very good job of finding good national talent.
With lots of variety and, you know, not typical Eurovision songs. What more can you ask for a national final for?
It got jury support. It got televote support. It ended up second with the fans, and it's not really the kind of thing that would do that. And it did that by getting sixes and sevens from across the fan kind of groups.
It also helps that a lot of fans think that he's very cute.
In the same way that people support Sana for being Sana, and you know, there is that, San Marino must qualify this year. Well, why? The contest has no memory of previous contests.
Yeah.
Just ask Romania.
Of course, it's got to be
Lewis.
It's got to be the thing that maybe it will put off some people, but will it put off enough? Will we see that?
Or is it so subtle that most people at home watching it won't realise till 3 o'clock in the morning as they're driving along there and go, oh, that's what it was about? But they've already cast the vote.
I'd like your opinions on this one, actually. When I've watched it through on the stage here, do we think, if you're doing a blog for maybe The Guardian or a newspaper like that, to say, here's what this is, would you write it as explicitly as... Is it as obvious as that to the first-time viewer? We've seen it so many times, we get the story.
I think the last shot where you have the smaller performer go in low around the waist as a child looking for protection from one parent, and a very physical, you know, in terms of rugby, a handoff at rugby or a face mask violation in American football done on the other performer on the stage. I think the last shot is very, very explicit, and it's, and while everything else is subtle up till then, they've been dancing together, there's some aggressive dancing, and that final shot, I think a lot of people are going to go, ah.
As a piece of musical theatre,
it succeeds it, that way, yes.
Yes.
And this is what we want from Eurovision. I mean, this is an interesting line of thought. We'll go down it. We've always wanted more than 3 minutes of fluffy pop. And we've got this in Hungary. We've got something that is respectable, that is artistic, that's commercially viable. This would not be out of place on major pop radio in terms of the musical style and construction. This is what we want from the contest. So there we go. That is our rundown for semi-final one. We will just have to see what happens with all of those songs. Stay with the SE Insight as we go through the week. We will, of course, have the full all-up rehearsals taking place on Monday and Tuesday, and the final on Tuesday as well. You've got to get it all started by Monday night, though, because that's when the juries are going to start voting. All the remains from AC. Thank you to my guest, to Keith Mills.
Thank you very much for having me, and you might have me later in the week as well.
Well, we'll invite you on the podcast.
that's enough for me.
Indeed. Abdicated over to ESC Kaz for the week.
Just for a couple of guest blogs, I'll be doing something with Eurovision Ireland as well. I'm on an off year officially, but it's very hard to get out of the groove.
Indeed, yes. Also, thank you to Ben Robertson.
Thank you as well, Ewan. Newsletters are every day. You can subscribe. And I'm really enjoying it, actually. I'm enjoying being here in the bubble now and actually getting a feel for what the mood is and what things are coming up. And people are sharing articles with me, so... good stuff.
Yeah, so we'll send you home tomorrow. And thank you as always to Samantha Ross.
Thank you so much. Pleasure as always. And again, feel free to follow me on Twitter. It's at ESC Insider. So, yes.
And lovely all of you having fun out there as well. Listen to the podcast. Your messages are always welcome. You can also leave a review for us in iTunes between 1 and 5 stars, not all the way from 0 to 2 response. A little text about why you're enjoying the podcast or why you're not enjoying the podcast either. Because if you're not enjoying it, I prefer you'd email me first, ewan@escinsight.com. But for now, it is time for the additional calls. Ben, it'll be your last podcast. Oh, we might squeeze you in tomorrow. We don't know. But just to be sure, in case we don't,
get off.